Coffee Conversations with Cinti is brought to you by Influential, the new strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategic crafted frameworks on how to implement campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations with Cinti. And as usual, I've got an interesting and beautiful guest in the studio, Miss Bang Bang Boogie. Lebang Khosana, how are you?
I'm well, I'm blessed. How are you, Cinti?
She is queen of the airwaves, and today she's going to take us through her lived experiences with influencer marketing. But before we get into it, everybody else at home, in your cars, or wherever you're listening us from, please don't forget to download this and other episodes. But most importantly, please hit that subscribe button. Miss Bang Bang Boogie.
Yes.
How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I love your look.
She's
got this bohemian thingy going
on. I like the word bohemian because it's so complex. There's no one definition of what bohemian is. Yeah. It just sounds great. But thank you. It's kind of my look. I'm going for a very like feather light kind of vibe in 2019, you know, nothing
That's
too
nice.
Heavy,
yeah.
Just very like
nice, chilled and natural.
Chilled, natural.
For those who obviously can't see this, picture Lauryn Hill on steroids. Good steroids, that is. She's a better version of Lauryn Hill.
I like the steroids part.
So why radio?
Oh man, you know, I can honestly say like radio was something that found me.
Okay.
It's never something that like I grew up and I really wanted to do, or I've always known that it's something I want to do, or I had a dream when I was young that I was going to do it. I did know that I'd end up in entertainment though. I just didn't know where exactly.
Yep.
So growing up, I was always the girl on stage. I mean, in primary school and high school.
In the limelight.
Every single school play, every single dance contest, whatever it was, I was always there. But not just from a talent perspective, from an organizational perspective as well. So I was in the talent show, but I was also the one organizing it at school, you know, which was really great for me. But how the radio thing got me was when I was in university. I studied in Pretoria at Tux. I studied BCom Marketing Communications, go Tux. And I was doing promos at the time for the Creative Council.
All right.
And one of the guys who was directing that campaign that we're on was like, okay, cool guys, if you want to come up and show us what you can do, you know, obviously for you to prove yourself that you are able and willing to promote, show us what you got. So people would go up there one by one, sort of like a like when you're doing a speech in front of class, like, oh, you have to stand there, be all shy or whatever the case is. So I just got up there and I was like, yo, what I was like, whoa, you've got a voice for radio. And I was like, oh really? And then after that, I just applied for different radio stations. And I was like, well, I may as well try.
All right.
I went to Tux FM. They declined me. They were like, no.
Yeah.
I went to... In fact, I got approached by Vodacom Radio. At the time, they had put together a radio station specifically for their stores.
Okay.
So they just needed somebody who can... Oh, must I speak? Oh, they just needed somebody who can... you know, just do like a nice, simple, everyday show where if it's in the stores, you walk in, you just hear this nice voice. So they approached me and they were like, hey, dude, come try out. So I was like, okay, great. So I tried out and they were like, actually, nah. I was like, okay, well, I guess I don't have the voice for radio.
Maybe the face for radio.
Well, whatever that is.
That's how it all started.
That's how really it all began. And I worked at an internet radio station for about 3 years, which all was in 2011.
Okay.
Like when internet radio stations weren't even a real thing.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And then...
And you know what? Speaking of radio, it's always been the original social media.
Absolutely.
And you see, all of us want to be in radio because there are no better personalities and celebrities, so to speak, than people that are on radio.
Yeah.
What in your view is influence and influencer marketing? Because radio personalities are the original.
The original. You're absolutely correct. You know, I don't like the word influencer. I'll be honest with you. I feel like it's just become so diluted. We've kind of lost track of what it is to be an influencer.
It's all essence.
Yes, because now people walk around with name tags and they call themselves influencers, whereas that's not the case.
Okay.
If you're an influencer, you don't need to walk around and call yourself one. You should just influence me and I should believe you.
So
I've got a little bit of beef with the word influencer, but that's just because of what social media has done to it. But influencer marketing, you know, for me at the core, It's the ability to evoke emotion. It's the ability to move a person.
Okay.
And to convince, persuade, but naturally, not in like a really forceful manner where it's like, hey, old buddy, old pal, buy this product. It should be a, hey, dude that I know and trust, check this out.
Yeah.
Whether you know me or trust me or not.
I think that's one of the most interesting definitions we've ever gotten on this show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for me what I believe it is. It just should be this authentic, organic experience of not exchange.
Forced.
Not forced, not placed and positioned.
Yeah.
It's not a PR thing.
Yeah.
It should be a an experience.
Exactly.
It should be an experience. And so few people understand that.
Yeah.
And that's why we lose the whole concept of what influencer and influencer marketing really is.
It's all about.
When you tell a person, hey, dude, I want you to go out there and influence.
Yeah.
What, like, sorry, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
You know
mean?
What I mean? Like, you have to really break it down and then explain. Because if you're saying to a person, go out there and influence, you're saying promote.
Yeah,
you're saying go out there, go to the malls and tell people about the product. And that's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
What we should be trying to do is really move people and experience something so that they feel like they're a part of it before they even know it.
Know it, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's how I feel about the term influence.
And influencer marketing. What are your anchor subjects of conversations? And do you take those onto your social media space?
Look, I try to. I'm a very passionate about people. Like when people ask me, what is it that you do? I always say I'm in the business of people. Because I'm so inspired by people
by
and
people,
the different things that they do. There's no one kind or one style or one thing that I like to, that I'm boxed into, for example.
Yeah.
I'm just so blown away by how humans behave and the different things that they engage in and how they engage in these things. And I think it's a classic tale of I want to change the world.
Exactly,
I want to be superwoman. You know, I want to help
one
as many
conversation
people.
At a time.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm going to do that the best way I know how. And that is, you know, in my little box of life, do what I can. So I found myself having the ability to speak life into other people's lives, you know, whether it's through radio, through social media. I'm a very positive person. I like to speak positivity into people's lives just because I know what it's like to really be in the trenches and just not to feel like it's worth it anymore. So for me, that's a big thing. So however I can do it, that's how I do it. So from high school days when I was dancing, with the repertoires very long time ago. I can't repeat some of those dance moves anymore. But that's how I spoke life into people's lives, because I was entertaining them, whether it meant I take
but
your mind off
of
exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So however I can improve somebody's life within my means is how I intend to live my life. You know, it's how I intend to move people.
Alright. And so besides motivation, what else do you speak about?
So I would say like the pillars that I lean on would obviously my big one would be motherhood. I don't hide that at all. I've got a 5-year-old boy who I mean I adore, and he's just become like the cornerstone of my existence. So everything I do in and around him. So before I had him, it was fashion was a very big talking point for me as well, because I found myself being drawn to, you know, fashion events and fashion things. Like for me, I just wake up and put on like, you know, a shirt and shorts, and then someone will be like, god damn girl, you look so fresh, and I'm like I'm really just putting on, you know. So I found myself really liking enjoying fashion. And ironically, my tourism lecturer told me this in university. She was like, Lebang, why are you here studying BCom marketing?
Yeah.
And I had this long story and script about, no, in life I want to do this. And she's like, I see you come into my lectures every single day looking fabulous, looking different. And she's like, dude, drop out and go study fashion.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you for the advice, middle-aged white woman. Let me go tell my black father that I'm ready to drop out of university to go study fashion.
And like, good luck with a conversation like that.
Precisely.
Yeah, but do you believe that you've got influence and sway towards your followers in terms of the topics that are
that
close to your heart?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you help them make that decision?
Absolutely. You know, I found myself, particularly in radio, this is where I realized that, something's happening.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, get people calling into the show and they'd specifically be like, hey, Lebang, you know, how's it going? Can I please speak to you off air, kind of thing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, sure. Okay, guys, going to an ad break. Click. Then I'd speak to them and it would literally be a thing of, you know, dude, I'm having a bad day, you know, I need help, I found out this that about school, how would you propose I go about it? So now I'm finding myself in a situation where people need like just my general advice now.
Okay, so about, you become a leading voice.
Exactly, and not in a way where I go out and say, hey guys, this is what I do, I'm the person that you talk to if you need, it just sort of happens and it manifests itself in the conversations that I have with people, whether it's on air or in real life. So I kind of appreciated that. I found myself really just having strangers coming to talk to me like, oh my God, I'm not feeling okay. Like some lady, I went to a store, I was trying to buy a cell phone, and we spoke for about 3 hours. She started crying, telling me about her situation with her boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. This is a long story. And I'm like, lady, I was just trying to buy myself a cell phone.
Yeah.
Here we are. So when you start attracting those kinds of energies, you start to realize that your purpose is a lot bigger than how you see it. You know, for me, like at that time, it was very like tunnel vision. Like, oh, okay, cool. I'm just going to do this and carry on with my life.
Yeah.
At that point, I realized that I need to stretch my dreams and stretch where I see myself going and what I can actually start doing for the people around me, you know. And again, not to box myself. So there's, you know, there's the conversations around, like I said, my son, motherhood, love that, parenting,
Yeah.
There's the fashion, which is really great. And the fashion...
So it's all multifaceted and doesn't get boring.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's times when we can be talking about, you know, a new liquor brand and everybody can jump on it and it can be this great conversation. It's I think, the ability to be versatile.
Yeah.
But... like in a functional manner where it's not forced and it's not like, okay, you're clearly being
very organic. Yeah,
it's organic because these are the general conversations. So for example, if you look at it on a piece of paper, you can't put a mother in the same conversation as an alcohol.
Of course you can't.
You can't. Well, you shouldn't, but the truth is it happens because mothers drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Mothers probably drink a lot more alcohol than you think. You know, so it's just kind of just keeping it real, man.
Yeah.
It's that organic thing that I really
and,
share
and
for.
And speaking of organic, you've obviously been on a number of influencer marketing campaigns.
Yes, yes.
You could name them, but what sort of organic conversations have you had and what sort of campaigns have you been on, giving examples, and what sort of impact, what was your role in there, and what impact did you bring to the table?
Okay, I'll speak about my favorite one that I did.
Okay,
I have done
away.
I've done a couple, but my favorite was a Southern Comfort one. Hey, you asked, I'm gonna answer. It was for Spirit of the South. So they were basically just like relaunching Southern Comfort, but now in SA. And what they were trying to do, which is something a lot of brands try to do, is to be different and be cool and be yourself and be unique and be individual.
Yeah.
I think that's like just a tagline that brands throw all over themselves.
I know. Yeah.
And nobody really executes it effectively because they don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't understand, number one, who they're talking to. Number two, what they mean by be different, be bold, be yourself. So these big words. So what we did with that campaign was it was a blank canvas.
Yeah.
How they found me, God knows, because I'm not like the most... I don't really post every day on Instagram, blah, blah, blah.
No,
I'm not in your face, but when I need to be, like, I'll holler at you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they just found me and they were like, yo, dude, we like the vibe, holler back. So I met up with them and they told me the concept, which was, hey, dude, we want to have a conversation around boldness, we want to have a conversation around being different, but we're not going to tell you how. You need to do you, and you come up with the concept and then we'll see if we approve it, blah, blah, blah. So basically I was doing their work for them.
All right.
Didn't mind because again, it gave me room to be myself.
Exactly.
So they didn't come with a brief and said, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. They gave me that room to breathe and it was beautiful. You know, they literally would, they just liked everything. I liked everything because it was my ideas. I knew that this would be successful. I knew that it would work. It worked not only with my followers, but also with their brand. You know, it all linked together. My dance aspect of life, where I was a hip hop dancer, and I'm still quite, you know, I've got some moves.
Some moves.
So
yeah.
You know, that really helped the fashion aspect. So just to expand a bit more on the fashion thing.
Yeah.
So what I'd do is I'd get calls to MC at different events. Like,
okay.
Back to the City, MC twice. Major League Gardens, Homecoming Africa, so all these big festivals, they say, yo, dude, we need an MC. But I think what my approach for emceeing was completely different to what anyone in South Africa was doing. So
okay.
if someone else would get called, they'll just go up there, take the mic. Hey, everybody, we're here.
Yeah.
So for me, emceeing, I'd put on a show within a show. I'd get a full outfit, maybe do outfit changes, change three times in a day. I'd really take it serious, you know what I mean? Because for me, that's my job. I'm not just taking it as you want me to come up on stage and keep people hyped. I'm entertaining within the entertainment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd really go out there. So my outfits were always very like different, and I'd have this big hair, I'd have these huge, just really different kind of outfits. And that's just because of the person that I am. It wasn't like I'm putting on something. It just came naturally to me to want to do that. So that is also something that we expanded on within the campaign, where I had all these outfit changes for the same scene.
So you brought a lot of your essence and values into
100%.
Into the table. And while you're that, you just bring up a very important aspect to this.
Mm.
How important is it for brands and influencers to have a more collaborative relationship instead of a transaction where we want you to post on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, here's your check. How important is it
I think for
that collaboration to happen?
That's the differentiating factor.
Yeah.
That's the clincher, because you can almost tell when somebody's received a brief and it's a copy paste. It's almost very obvious. Like, you go through someone's timeline.
Yeah, but like, I've seen or heard this before.
Exactly. Eh? Like, you know how a person tweets. You know who you follow. So if you follow someone and suddenly it's like, hey guys, I was walking in the mall today and I happened to bump into Glass Console Stillwater. I love Glass Console Stillwater.
Bumped into console, my foot.
Eh? Hello. Like, how old are we? So, you know, it's, for me, that really is what will make or break the campaign. Giving, trusting the influencer to portray and project your brand effectively in a way that you're happy with. But also, that all boils down to picking the influencer.
Exactly, yeah.
You can't look at the numbers and say, wow, this person has 20,000 followers. They must influence.
Yeah.
Darling, I have news for you. That's not how it works. And I think that's where a lot of brands get it wrong. Your numbers don't equal your influence.
Okay.
It's a completely different ball game. You know, it's more how you influence. You can have someone out there with 200 followers who's influencing the crap out of people, but you'll have no idea why, because you're not looking at their numbers as influencer numbers.
Yeah.
Influencer numbers aren't, you know, the highest of them all. The people who have the highest numbers of them all, you know, are probably, you know, obviously it's very vague. It's probably people in different fields doing different things, blah, 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 blah. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to get influenced by the most beautiful person on Twitter or on Instagram.
Yeah.
Purely based on the fact that they post beautiful pictures every day.
Yeah.
You're not influencing me.
It's a bit deeper than that.
Yeah, you're showing me that you're pretty, and congratulations.
Yeah.
God is an artist. Well done. But what is it that you stand for?
Yeah.
I want to know who you are behind the makeup and behind the pictures and these great poses. And shout out to your photographer for waking up every morning and taking pictures of you. That's fantastic. Yeah. But who are you? Show me who you are. Connect with me.
Exactly.
That's what I hunger for personally.
All right.
And I feel like that's what people hunger for. Yes. We want we want to know who you are. We can see the stuff that you buy and put on. Great.
Yeah.
But what's going on behind all of that? So
exactly.
That's, I think people connect with that. We connect with truth. We connect with experience. We connect with energy. We don't connect with, you know, just like an image of just boom boom, because you know how many of those images, those boom boom, those black and white images.
Yeah, we see quite a lot of
I'm tired.
And speaking of connections, do you think that radio has given you an advantage when it comes to building a following? And obviously that influence. And
absolutely.
What sort of advantages are you?
Look, I'll be honest, before I even got into radio, I think I already had solidified a certain following just within, not particularly on social media, but just with how I engage with people. So in the streets, if that's a term that's understandable.
Okay,
so
you had street cred.
I had, you know, I was in the streets. I was respected. People put respect on my name. So I was never really, I guess, worried or bothered by what the change would be. So for example, like when Twitter first came up in 2011, I was like one of the first people in South Africa to have it, and there was like a small group of us, and we kind of all knew each other. It's a real thing. If you ask people about 2011 Twitter, it was completely different. There were literally maybe just 5,000 of us, and we all knew each other. We were all from Joburg. We all went to the same schools. We all grew up together. So you could have really personal conversations on the timeline, and we'd all know who you're talking about. Now,
it's like, changed, eh?
It's changed completely. Yeah. Everyone is online. So the game is just completely different. So I never... you know, in high school, I was always popular.
Yeah.
You know, I always had the ability to talk to people, and I was just friendly, and I was just that person. So jumping onto social media, it was natural for me to gain a following. Like, I remember I got Facebook in 2007. My account was full within 3 months. I had 5,000 friends within 3 months. That's because but I just
then
knew.
Did radio then just blow that up?
Radio...
Positively.
Yes, I can't say blew it up, but it introduced me as Lebang to completely different people who probably only knew me from other things but didn't know me personally. So I started an events company in 2010.
Yeah.
And again, this was back in like Joburg days when it was just us. And by us, I mean a very small group of people who were like into these things. So I'd host a lot of events in Joburg, around town. You know, and this was at a time where, you know, hip hop music, for example, wasn't that popular. A small group of people liked hip hop.
Really into it,
I would cater to that group of people. So I'd book like AKA when he was only like 1,000 rand, praise God. Questa when he was still free. So these were times when nobody really believed in it. So it was quite a crucial time for the game. So those people who knew me, it was like, oh, okay, great. That's that girl that throws parties. Yeah. I was always seen as that cool chick that throws parties at that time.
Okay.
And then all that radio did was, oh, so she's got brains. But so this is the person that we can put behind all these parties that we've been going to. You know what I mean? So now people are able to put a face to these parties. So yes, all it enhanced.
Okay.
But I can't say it like boomed or anything.
Okay. And then in terms of grabbing the attention of brand,
yes.
Has that helped?
Absolutely. No, look, I won't lie to you. Radio definitely like put me at a whole nother place where it was like brands realize that, you know, if we engage with this person or if we holler at Lebang to jump on this campaign, these are the numbers she can reach.
She can pull,
Again, it was all a numbers game, you know, but definitely. I definitely give props to radio. If anything, I fell in love with it. I'm still very deeply in love with it. I still very deeply believe in it as a medium, even though, you know, unfortunately there's a decline due to the FM and the internet taking over, blah, blah, blah. I still really believe in it. I think if it's just done right and people love it and actually realize the responsibility that comes with being a radio host, you're not just waking up every morning to go talk rubbish. You have to, you must know what you're talking about. You must know the responsibility that comes with that.
And so how important is it for you to number one stay true to self, but also what responsibility do you have towards your followers in terms of being authentic at all times?
That is it. As everything you've just said is the whole thing. It's so important to remain who I am. I can't go out and act and pretend to be something I'm not. For me, that's a lot of work. I don't want to get on the mic and be like, hey guys, you know what? Today, I'd rather get there and just conversate with you. As I'm saying, I'm in the business of people. I want to move you because I already believe in my listeners. I may not know you personally, but I believe in you because you're here. You're tuned in. You want to hear what I have to say.
Exactly.
So I need to prove myself to you that, hey, dude, this is a real thing. Let's grow together. Let's move together. So it's so important for me for people to be themselves and be real, because otherwise then we fall into that trap of the wrong people getting into those spaces. Suddenly, you know, I don't want to talk rubbish about anyone, but suddenly the wrong people are now radio hosts. It's like, how did that person become a radio host? Oh no, it's because they know Mang Mang, who knows Mang Mang, and they've got 200,000 followers. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's a shame because we're putting the wrong people in positions of power and responsibility. These people don't do research. These people don't go home and give a rat's ass about their listeners. They don't care about their listeners. They care about their numbers and their following. And as long as I can put this on my CV and make it more shiny, I'm good to go.
Yeah. So what advice would you have for somebody that wants to break into radio?
Into radio.
And obviously maybe at some point wants to get into the influencing space. Yeah. At an official capacity.
Yeah. Look, my biggest thing would just be like, find a way to to express yourself.
Yeah.
And stick to it.
Yeah. A unique way.
But don't chase this. This unique word is also tricky. It's also been diluted. Okay. You know, every other brand is now, oh, unique. Boom. It's just us. No. Find yourself.
Yeah.
And find something that you like and stick to it. If you can't wake up and say, you know what, I want to be an influencer.
Yeah.
You need to know what you want to influence for, who you're influencing, what it is that, like, what is it that you do?
Yeah.
Let it come to you. So if you know that you like to cook, but you don't really know how much.
Yeah.
Start cooking, practice, take pictures of your food, post it on social media.
Yeah.
Start a blog, blah, 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 blah. Get into the groove of everything to do with cooking.
Yeah.
And let the brands come to you. They'll be like, hey, we've noticed that for the past 2 years, you know, you've actually been working on this.
It's pretty much quite a lot of background work that needs to be done.
Research.
It's not just presenting your face.
I'm telling you, it's
and putting
not,
a hand up.
It's yeah. not that. It's research. It's yeah. putting in the effort. That's what people appreciate. People appreciate effort.
Yeah.
You can't just arrive and be like, oh, here I am, I'm ready to influence, let's do this.
Yeah.
No, darling. You know, yeah. find your niche and run with it.
Yeah.
Stick with it. If it's multiple things, that's also okay.
Yeah.
But just take it and run with it and respect it.
Yeah.
It's your craft. You yourself are an asset. So invest in yourself. You know, look at yourself as something that you want to build and improve on.
Yeah.
And then just take it from there. And I swear to God, these people will just come knocking at your door.
Whoa.
I'm telling you.
Thank you so much for that great advice. I hope everybody is listening.
I also hope
so. Lebang Hosana, Miss Bang Bang Boogie,
yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. Let's have a cup of coffee, and I'm sure
Please.
For the next hour we can sit and have a conversation further. But thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you for having
and
me.
And we wish you all the best in everything that you do. You
Thanks,
seem to
guys.
Be a multifaceted person. We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
In all of those avenues. Everybody at home, it was very good of you to join us this day, and please don't forget to check us out on iTunes, Spotify, download and hit that subscribe button. We love you, but we have to leave you.
Yay!
Thank you so much.